Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
In our month of building capacity, of course, building spiritual capacity. Amen. And we've been looking at diverse aspects of building spiritual capacity. And in the month also, every Friday, we meet here to pray, Word and Wonder Night. And if you are not part of us yet, we encourage you to come for prayer meetings on Friday. Is that okay? This morning, we want to go into God's Word that I titled, Manifesting the Benefits of Spiritual Capacity. Manifesting the Benefits of Spiritual Capacity. This morning, I want you to really whet your appetite because it's going to be a buffet of God's Word. There is so much to eat this morning, amen. Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 19. Shout, I am blessed three times. Blessed. Two. Three. Good. Matthew 25, 14 to 19. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another 1, to each according to his own ability. To each according to his own ability. Tell somebody there is an ability in the inside of you. So if you are reading from your Bible, you want to highlight that one or underline that one. Amen. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. And traded with them. And made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them, manifesting the benefit of spiritual capacity. Praise be to God. Now, the treatment God gives you as an individual cannot exceed the level of the spiritual capacity that you have developed. Ladies and gentlemen, I take it again. The treatment that God gives you as an individual, it cannot exceed the level of the spiritual capacity that you have developed or built. Please understand that no matter how hard you pray, no matter how intense your fasting life is, God can only deal with you based on the capacity you have built. The answer to your prayer will only be at the level of the spiritual capacity you have built. Are you still there with me? God will always deal with you by the measure of your spiritual capacity. That is what makes God a just God. That is what makes God a fair God. God is a true judge. Because the Bible says that, do not be deceived, for God cannot be mocked. What a man sows is what he will reap. And the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east, nor the west, nor the south, but God is judge. He puts one down and he lifts up another. I feel this morning that God is about to lift you up. I say, I feel that God is about to promote you. Therefore, I pray for you this morning in the name of Jesus that let promotion come upon your life. May the Lord lift you up. I say, may the Lord lift you up. in the name of the Lord Jesus, anything in your life, anyone in your life that must go down for you to be lifted, I pray that by the hand of the Lord, may they go down this morning. Your amen is here. I say, let them go down. But as for you, may you be lifted. May your career be lifted. May your destiny be lifted. Shout, I am promoted. Come on, shout, I am promoted. And so I want to take you through the three definitions of capacity, and then we look at weightier things in God. Capacity can be defined in three ways. Number one, capacity can be defined based on your specific role or position in the kingdom of God. I will explain. Capacity can be defined based on your what? Specific role and your position in the kingdom of God. In this kingdom, not in church. There are many people, they are very proud that they belong to a church. They say, as for me, I am so-so and so. As for me, I am so-so and so. But I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Can I go deeper? In this kingdom, there are two forms of capacity to consider with regards to your role or position. Hear me now. You are either in a son capacity or you are in a servant capacity. Hello? You are either in what? A son, S-O-N. You are either in a son capacity or you are in a servant or slave capacity. Hear me? For you to have access to your portion of inheritance in God, you must be a son. Hear me? For you to receive your answered prayer, the things that are on your heart, you must be a son in God's kingdom. If you are a servant, you must graduate to be a son before anything God has said concerning your life will come to pass. This morning will be powerful. Hear me, as long as you are a servant, you are not entitled to receive anything from the hands of God. Now someone will begin to ask, oh, so pastor, how can I know whether I am a servant or not? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 2. Galatians 4, 1 to 2. Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 2. Now give it to us in the King James Version. Galatians 1, 4. 1 to 2, and then we'll read verse 7. The Bible said, now I say, that's the heir. The heir is somebody who the property of his father is passed on to. Hello? If you're an heir, it means that you are about to receive Range Rover that your father bought. You're about to receive a car. You're about to receive a land. And in the will, your name has been captured. The Bible said, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And so, when you are a child in God's kingdom, you are treated like a servant. And before you receive anything from God, he said, but it's under tutors. For you to graduate from being a child to be a son, or from being a servant to be a son, you must have tutors. Who is a tutor? A tutor is a private teacher. Hello? Those times that were growing up, the parents that had extra money, they are able to do extra classes for some of our friends. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. So the thing that they are teaching you in class, your friends have teachers that come to the house to give them one-on-one lecture. Hello? And so he says that they must be under tutors and governors, supervisors. And he said, until the time appointed of the father. So until you become a son, you'll be seeing blessings, but you can't enjoy it. Hello? Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Once you become a son, you begin to receive the manifestation of everything God has said concerning your life. As somebody sitting beside you, are you a servant or you are a son? So someone said, pastor, how do I know I am a servant? And how do I know I am a son? John chapter 8, verse 35. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 35. The Bible said, and the servant abide not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. In other words, the servant does not live in the house forever. Servants leave the house of God, but sons don't leave. One way you know whether you are a servant or a son is whether you leave the house of God or not. I'm not saying leaving church. Leaving the house of God. Because of what they've done to me, I'll not go to church again. You are not a son, you are a servant. There are some people try to offend them. Say, I'll not go there again. You have a servant. He said, a servant abides. A servant abideth not in the house forever. He will be in the house, but for some time. But the son abided ever. Give it to us in another version. Give it to us in another version. How you know whether you are a son or not is your ability to stay in the house. Servants go. Servants cannot last. Hello? A slave, I told you, is servant or slave. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. But a son is part of the family forever. Give the Lord a clap of praise. If you are a son, you can't leave the house of God. You can't leave his presence. Because you only live, you only function when you are in the presence of God. Say, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Give the Lord a clap of praise. The servant has the tendency to leave the house of God. When he gets what he wants, there are some people, they are in the house of God, they are only waiting for the day they will break through. They are waiting for the day to have jackpot. Some of them want to have twins. Once they have the twins, that is the end. But there is a man who sits above all men. He knows the heart of men. A son will never go, no matter whether he has received his inheritance or not. He will receive his inheritance, but he still stay put. But a servant, once he gets his inheritance, speed, he is gone. Are you still there? Luke chapter 15, 11 to 19. My God. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 19. I'm going to show you something very powerful. Can I continue? Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Go ahead. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. So praying this prayer, Father, give me my portion of blessing in the year. It's not a bad prayer. Give me my blessing that you have allotted to me for the year 2022. Father, the year is going to an end. Where is my wedding ring? It's a good prayer. And the Bible says, the father divided the goods, gave it to the son. And not many days after, it's not even 1 week. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. He left. He left the house of God. Listen, anything or any blessing you receive in God's presence can only be preserved by the presence of God. When you receive blessing and you check out, it will be wasted. Prodigal means wasting, wasted lifestyle. You cannot keep outside of God's presence what you have received in God's presence. Hello? Anything the presence of God has given you, it will take the presence of God to preserve it, to keep it. Hello? So let's continue. Verse 14 says what? Verse 14. But when he has spent all, not some, there arose a severe famine in that land. Something will come upon you today. Whatever thing that is happening in the world, it will be minus you. I say, because you are a son of God, it will be minus you. God will send angels to bless your life. He will send good people to lift you up. Come on, shout amen like you believe it. But when he has spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Hey! Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. My God. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pulse that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Outside the presence of God, even handkerchief, no one will buy it for you. I'm not saying being in church. I'm saying being in the house of God. No man gave him anything. I prophesy that from today, when people go out to buy something, God will put you on the list of their hearts. They shall buy you what you cannot buy for yourself. They shall give you what your money cannot afford. Shout amen like you are in the house. He said, and no one gave him anything. When people give you nothing, don't be angry. Don't be what? Check whether the presence is still there. As long as the presence is there, your wagons are coming home. Your blessings are coming home. Is somebody hearing me at all? But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's highest servant have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Servants in the house of God, their prayer is for basic needs. Bread, shelter, clothing. So servant, when they're in the house of God, God, I want a car, nice dress, food, that's all. But people who are sons don't think about basic needs. They think about legacy. Hello? They think about what? So he cast his mind back and said, even in my father's house, servants eat and there is surplus. I am dying here. Verse 18. Take us to verse 18. Verse 18 says, hello? And I am not, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. 19 says what? I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your highest servants. Because he knows that once you leave the presence of God, you are not a son, you are a servant. Hello? Because sons don't leave. Servants leave. And servants, their mindset, no coffee, bread, shelter, clothing, and a small picanto to check how far. But sons leave legacy. They leave inheritance for their children's children. I feel that God is releasing something upon your life because you are a son of his house. You leave inheritance for your children's children. I say you leave inheritance for your children's children. Shout amen 3 times. Amen. 2, 3. Amen. Clap your hands and celebrate God. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have lost when you left the presence of God. But this morning, if only you will come back. The hands of God is open to take you one more time. I said the arms of God is open to you. Once you return, he will restore you. The Bible said when he returned, the Father gave him rope. Which stands for identity. Rope stands for what? Identity. When you want to know a nurse, they have their own garment. A soldier man has his own garment. Hello? Every profession has their own garment. To be a son of God, there's a garment. The Father gave him rope. The Father gave him ring. Ring stands for what? Authority. The Father gave him sandals, which stands for his assignment. God restored his identity, restored his authority, gave him back his assignment. If only you return this morning, I see God restoring you. I say, I see God restoring you. Shout amen like you believe it. The second way you will know whether you are a son or a servant is that no servant knows the master's business. But a son knows the in and out of the business of the father. Hello? John chapter 15, verse 15. John 15, verse 15. Jesus speaking, the A part. What did Jesus say? John chapter 15, verse 15. What did he say? No longer do I call you servants, For a servant does not know what his master is doing. You know what USA will do in 20 years. It is good. But what is God doing in his kingdom? You have no idea. You have no idea. Are you a son or you are a servant? Hello? Because no servant knows the master. But sons know the in and out of the business of their father. They know the vision of their father. They know what their father is about to do. Put your right hand on it. Shout, I receive my sonship. No. Go ahead and say, I receive my sonship. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the second definition of capacity. Capacity can also be defined as your inner strength to hold or contain something. First, we define capacity to be your specific role or position in the kingdom. The second definition is what? Capacity also can be defined as your inner strength to hold or contain something. This is important because your capacity is known based on what you can carry, what you can sustain, what you can endure in life. Hello? There are some people, you see, the global recession. Some people crying, oh, things are very hard. Some people, they don't know whether it is hard or it is soft. Because they have a strong capacity to endure. Because where they are coming from, it's like being on a desert. If you survive on the desert, is it Accra that you not survive? Your ability to endure talks about your capacity. What you can contain directly influences what you can produce. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 8. Oh my God. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded the crop. You see, Jesus speaking said, a sower went to sow seed. Like the way the word of God is coming to you this morning, God is sowing seed into the heart of his people. Hello? And he said, but others fell on good ground and yielded the crop. Some at 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hear me? The same kind of seed fell into the hearts of God's people, but they produce different results. Why? Because of the capacity they have, the ability to receive God's word, the ability to keep it and water it is what has brought a difference. So if the word of God is speaking about prosperity, you can see somebody after a few weeks from today beginning to get prosperous 100%. But there's somebody also who can only produce 30% of the prosperity. Why? They have not emptied themselves totally to God's word. They want the word of God to do something in one aspect of their life and not the total aspect of their lives. Hello? So, your capacity, how you allow God to work on you, will determine what you can produce in life. Am I communicating? Are you catching this morning? And so, when the word of God comes, there's some people, they select it. Okay, this one I dodge. It's for Matthew. As for this one there, it's for Akos. Then they take the one that they like. The one that you've taken will begin to produce in your life. But anyone who says, I receive God's word, whether it is choking me or not, will see 100% fruit. Clap your hands. Amen. Without this understanding, ladies and gentlemen, you can receive prophetic word 1 gallon. Receive anointing oil, not only by the laying on of hands, but when we lay leg also. Surely nothing will happen. Because once your capacity is small, the answer prayer that will come into your life can only match your capacity. It cannot be more than what you can carry. Hello? Can I go deeper? For many of us, God cannot give us anything new because we have not developed our capacity for new things. In fact, many of us destroy new things anytime God brings them into our lives because our minds are not renewed. We are stuck with old experiences which will not allow room in us for God to add more. That is why when you check some people's life, God cannot give them new friends. God cannot give them new money. When I say new money, it means that in your lifetime, your highest amount of money you've handled is 700 cedis. God cannot give you 2,000 cedis because you backslide. You will. You cannot handle new money because your mind has not been renewed. God cannot give new contracts, new job appointments until the mind is renewed. That is when God will bring it. Because you cannot receive beyond your capacity. Hello. Are you still there? I see new opportunities coming to you after today. New customers are going to come to you after today. Listen, when you don't renew your mind, there are some customers, they have money, but they have bad character. Hello? So they'll come with bad character. But when you have work on your capacity, oh, the way you handle them, they'll buy your store in addition. Because they are the ones who have the money. But you, because you've not worked on your capacity, you say, share. You say, who are you to talk to me? Like, do you know where I am coming from? You have not. Go and ask Abelinkwe. In 1975. Either with me. So they bring the money, all right, but they go. You are praying for customers. God cannot bring them because the people who have the money, they don't have good character. But you have to work on your character. Hello? So when they come to your shop, they come to order you around. One thing they'll buy, they'll bring everything down from the shelf. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Mark 2:22. After bringing down everything and buy only one bag, when the person leaves, then he says, thank you for coming to my shop. Hey, you have work on your character. Because if it was first, you take broom and sweep the person's footprint and rain curses. Hallelujah. Mark 2:22. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into what? New wineskin. And new wine, ladies and gentlemen, is in a state of fermentation. When it is fermenting, it produces bubbles and it expands. Old wineskin has a fixed shape and it's no longer flexible. So when you put a new wine into old wineskin, as it is fermenting and producing gases, it will begin to stretch the old wineskin. But the old wineskin says, this is my shape. Me, I can't change. Listen, everybody in my area know that I'm not good. So as the new wineskin is trying to stretch you, you say, no way. So the Bible is saying that the new wineskin will make the old wineskin to burst. The wine will be spoiled, and then old wineskin too will be spoiled. Therefore, you can only put new wine into new wineskin. Give the Lord a clap of praise. So that the new wineskin can expand. It is flexible. No matter how the gas want to explode, say, I have room for you. Tell somebody, it's time to have a big heart. Tell them, it's time to have a big heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. To have the needed capacity, we must let go of the old and embrace the new. We must surrender the old way, the old style, the old mentality to meet the needed capacity. You see, in a 21st century like this, the year 2022, you cannot wake up every morning and insist that they should prepare palm nut soup for you. And say, the palm nut soup, this is how you like it. Go to Kwabena Market. Buy the palm kernel from the woman in the third shop. Buy it from the woman. Come and cook. Pound it. Extract the whatever. And use it for my palm. Every day you are insisting. Brother, you wake up tomorrow, everybody will leave you in the house. Because in this time, time no day. So this is how I like it for my childhood. Pastor, give me a break. You wake up, you'll be the only one there. Everybody will put off their phone. Because you are not sensitive to the time. Because we have moved on. Tell someone we've moved on. If you want your palm nut soup, it's already processed. Some are in can, some are in bottle. So give the Lord a clap offering. This one is, it has nothing to do with demon. There are people in my house, they don't want you to eat good food. It's not demonic. It is just that you have refused to renew your mind. Praise him. You dated one woman, she did you wayo. And now you have become a philosopher. That all women are wayos. When we want to talk you out of it, say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. Because of one woman, you have blacklisted all women. Until that mindset change, you don't have a good woman. So that's how my friend said, I tried in GSS, and now I tried 2 years after. All women are like that. Is your mother too like that? You are not clapping to this one. Some people have a mentality, I don't like this zone. Some have a mentality that, I want someone to come and marry me and take care of me. You want someone to come and marry you and take care of you. Those who marry and take care of people, they are only two in Ghana. Because before the person comes to you, the person is paying bills. Should you find somebody like that, praise be to God. But try and do something. So when that person comes, it's bonus. Are you hearing me? Why? Because the person that will take care of you is not God. It's only God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The person wake up tomorrow and change and say, I cannot do it anymore. You are not clapping to this one. It's only God who says, I'll take care of you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the one who said, don't worry, I'll take care. What if he dies? He can wake up tomorrow. He can go and read something on Facebook. Then some foolish spirit will enter into his or her mind. Person will change. Are you there with me? Tell somebody, it's time to renew our minds. Hallelujah. Amen. Until your thinking changes, your life cannot change. What you are filled with in life, I'm now going deeper. What you are filled with in life will affect your thoughts. Your thoughts will affect your words. Anytime we listen to you talk, you are only amplifying what is in your mind. Your thoughts will affect your actions. Your actions will affect your habits. Your habits will affect your character. Your character will affect your destiny. I take it again. Your thoughts. It always starts from the thought. You see that guy who went to kill himself in Kaswa, climbing the transformer. Transformer, he said he's tired and he went to kill himself. The guy who killed himself, he started with a thought. When he started with a thought, he said, me, this economy is too hard. I'll die. People thought he was joking. And his thought began affecting his actions. He started watching movies of people hanging themselves. His actions are affecting his daily habits. Now, when he's among people, he does not talk too much. Anytime someone starts isolating himself, the person wants to die. And your habit will affect your character. Your character, your destiny. That's why instead of climbing a coconut tree, where everybody's making money out of coconut business, he climbed a transformer pole. Went to electrocute himself. Are you there with me? Hello? Thoughts! So what influences your thoughts? Let's go into God's word. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Every thinking pattern takes root in the spiritual. In other words, a spirit is responsible for how you think. And when you allow how you think to take root in your heart, it will develop and become your life. For you to be kind, a spirit is behind it. If your spirit, if something tells you to be angry, When you come to church, don't smile to anybody. When we are saying, I love you with a love, say, I hate you with the hate of Satan. A spirit is talking to your mind. You think it's your own mind. It's all your own mind. To be a nice person, a spirit is behind it. To be violent, a spirit is behind it. Hello? Never in your life entertain an evil thought. Never meditate on what is wrong and evil, because it will have a way of changing you. Hello? Listen, you can look at an individual and you can say, this man is an evil man. Because the way he looks at things is as if he has his own power, he'll kill the thing right now. He'll look at a fowl with the eye of suspicion. You see that when no one is there, this one will cook this fowl. Hello? We may not know the mind you have towards women. Maybe to you, a woman is a sex object. We will not know, but it will play out. Because as you think like that, you attract women who can go 15 days non-stop. Because your life is a reflection of how you think. You think about women as sex objects, they are so 15 days, they don't get tired. Hello? The mind is powerful. It is powerful. To a degree, your life looks like your mind. If your life will change, you must renew your mindset. Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Philippians 4 verse 8, what did he say? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Because when you meditate on them, it will affect your words. Your words will affect your actions. Your actions will affect your habit. Your habit will affect your character. Your character will become your destiny. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Why should you meditate on these things? Because as a man thinks, so is he. Your thinking pattern can be affected by the spirits you have opened your heart to. Right now, as you are hearing God's word, your spirit is open to the word of God. Hello? And the spirit backing the word is making entrance into your life. And therefore, you begin to see that it begins to affect how you think and see things in life. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Once the word of God enters into you, it influences how you think and eventually influences your life. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Can we all read? Ready? Go. Hold on 1 second. He said, and what entered me? When he did what? So when you tell her, I love you, she said, because something entered her. Hello? You are hearing words, but something is entering you. And when you hear, you will be prosperous. You shouted amen. Then the spirit of prosperity enters into you. Amen. Hello? Haven't you seen deliverances? We say, come out. And the person begins to manifest. What is manifesting? Something entered the person. Ready, go. From the beginning. Ready, go. Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Hallelujah. And so for God to be formed in your life, there are seven spirits that must enter into you. And those spirits are enough for you to host God in your life. I want to run through them quickly. I'm taking you somewhere, so I'm still laying foundation. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. Amen. I told you from the beginning, it's going to be buffet of food. Buffet. Serve yourself. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. What did he say? There are seven spirits of God. Number one is the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord is responsible for leadership. When the spirit of the Lord enters into you, it puts you in the place of command. Hello? So people become leaders because of the spirit that has entered into them. Number two, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom helps you to take the right decisions. Your error margin, your regrets are few. Because there's a spirit working in your life called the Spirit of wisdom. So you don't make many mistakes. The Spirit of understanding. It gives you clarity into your life's assignment. You want to be a footballer. How do I start? Who should I talk to? You want to be a footballer. And you do your training at Brekusu. The people who scout for superstar, do they come to Brekusu? Do they come to Brekusu? They come around Narnia Park. Is it Narnia Park? So do your training around Narnia Park. You are doing your training around Abokobi. People who scout for players don't come around Abokobi. Hello? It means that you need the spirit of understanding how things work. The spirit of counsel. Hello? It gives you insight into life. The spirit of mind. Power. Self-driven. Self-control. The spirit of mind. The spirit of knowledge. Illumination. One spirit that fears the spirit of knowledge is the spirit of poverty. When this spirit enters into you, poverty will leave your life. Amen. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord. When people fear God, it's because of the spirit that is in them. When people rebel against God, it's not that they know what they are about. That, you see, according to Maslow's law of theory, it's not anything. It's a spirit in them. The spirit rebel against God. Because when you have the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you reverence God. You fear God. Hello? It's a spirit. Amen. So, when this is in you, this is what you are able to contain. And so, it begins to show what will be seen in your life. Praise be to God. Now, either you are influenced by the Spirit of God or you are influenced by the spirit of the devil. How do we know? By your fruit. Hello? By their fruit, you will know them. There are certain people, their life is a lie. Their life, everything about them is a lie. They can tell lies. When you read the Bible says, the spirit of a lie is a frog. And frog lives in water and lives on the land. So there are people with many faces. You don't know who they are. They have told lies. Even they themselves, they don't know who they are. Because in Domi, they are Paul. In Kobenya, they are Matthew. In Legon, they are Daniel. So he said, oh, Paul, how are you? He said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, Paul, I met you in Domi. Okay, Domi. Then he remembers that he said he was Paul in Domi. They have many faces. Because a lady came to me in the office when we were at the old place. And she was crying. And see, her tears was coming from the place of pain. She said, Pastor, she was dating a guy in the church. Those times. The guy is no longer in the church. He said, Pastor, this guy is a liar. Pastor, you think you know him? You don't know him. Pastor, you don't know him. You don't know him. He said, the guy is a liar. You see, the guy has regretted. He said, everything he told me is a lie. The guy is a living lie. He's a liar. And she was hurt. And I pitied that guy because even when I was asking what has happened, the guy was still lying. The girl produced evidence. So even with evidence, he was still lying. I said, hey, Jesus. Anyone who is a liar can be a murderer. John chapter 8, 44. He said, those who lie have the nature of the devil himself. He said, he cannot tell the truth. John 8, 44. John 8, 44. What did he say? You are of your father. That means that liars have a father. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, you see. And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. Manifestations in life only reveal what you are carrying. There's a man in the Bible, Mark chapter 5, from verse 1. The man, the Bible says, does not live in town. He lives in the cemetery. Because he was possessed by an unclean spirit. When the unclean spirit entered into him, he took him where? To the cemetery. He sees cemetery as moving pick. Because the spirit that was fighting him separated him from people, brought him to the place of the cemetery. Cemetery, there is no buying, there is no selling. It means that there are people, when an unclean spirit comes on them, there is no activity in their life. Nobody buys from them. They cannot sell to anyone. There are people like that. Nothing happens in their life. It's a spirit caused by what? An unclean spirit. And the Bible says that he lives in a cemetery. You see, when you are in a cemetery, all the bodies there are dead. When you are crying for help, who get up and help you? So the unclean spirit can make sure that you are in a place in life. When you call for help, nobody can help you. I pray for you that your location will change in the spirit. I say, may your location change after today. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that this man afflict himself. He will take a sharp knife, cut himself and drink the blood. There are many people, they are killing themselves, but they can't stop. Go to the ghettos, junkies. Do you know this thing I'm about to inject will freeze my mind for 2 weeks? But I will still inject it, and it will be frozen. It will be there like that. So how are you? He is afflicted because an unclean spirit is working in his life. Your manifestations as a result of the spirit that is in you. This guy cut himself with stones. The Bible said when they put chains on him, he breaks the chains. He has unusual strength. Those were his manifestations. Until he met Jesus. When he met Jesus, he bowed down. And the Bible said, Jesus said, come out from him, you unclean spirit. They said, what is your name? He said, we are Legion. Legion means 3,000 foot soldiers and 3,000 horsemen. Making how many? 6,000. Plus 3,000 horses. Because the horses are so spirit. 9,000. So the human spirit can be able to contain 9,000 different spirits. The human spirit is large. Are you there with me? One man has 9,000 different entities living in him. So he was begging Jesus that deliver me. Because when Jesus delivers him, he will leave the cemetery. His life will find purpose. So the demon said, don't torment us before our time. Don't suck us from this territory. Because this is our territory, you know. So demons are territorial. So when you are leaving East Legon, you are coming to us, Kwabena. How you are breaking through in East Legon, you must come and pray, because the demons in Kwabena are different. It's not every place that you do business that you succeed. And it's not every family that you date into that you succeed. Because demons are territorial. So Jesus drove out those 9,000 entities into 2,000 pigs that were around. And the Bible said when the demons entered into the pig, what did they do? They ran into water and got drowned. What one man is able to stand for? 2,000 pigs couldn't stand it. That's why when someone is going through something, before you judge, ask what is the person's destiny. But what the person is going through and is standing there, when they put half on your head, you go and climb transformer. Are you there with me? When he was delivered, the Bible said he began to preach in the Decapolis, which means 10 regions. Previously, Ghana was a country of 10 regions. That means that the guy's anointing could cater for 10 regions. So the demons, so 9,000 demons were living in him. Any spirit sent from your father's house to keep you in a place of no production, we speak from the altar of God. The assignment is broken off your life. I said the assignment is broken off your life. From today there shall be buying and selling. When you cry out for help, help will come to you. You shall no longer afflict your own self. Receive the power of God. receive the liberation of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Clap this a shout, hallelujah. So when you see a family that their poverty has color, the kind of poverty they have is the red one. It's a demon. If one individual refuses to be like the family and engage the power of God on his life, that person alone will be free. I pray that after today, you will be the different one in your family. By the power of God, we separate you from your family. What stop others cannot stop you after today. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands and celebrate God. And so I always tell you that be careful of what you open your spirits to. There's a woman I spoke to you about when we're at the old place. She was born in 1888 in Manchester, in the United Kingdom. The name of this woman is what? Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, in 1900, before she turned 20 years, this woman opened her spirit. She became a spirit medium, and she opened her spirit or her life to a Tibetan spirit. Tibet is a region in East Asia. It has to do with China, India, and a part of Nepal. And she opened her life to the Tibetan spirit. And a demon was teaching her some things to write in a book, that by those things, the world can be ruled for 300 years. Hello? The name of the demon is Johalkul. D-W-J-H-A-L-K-U-L. When you Google, you see what I'm talking about. D-W-J-H-A-L space K-U-L. Johalkul. Ugly name. And what was he doing? The spirit was teaching this woman how they can break the power of Christianity, how they can destroy the world in 300 years time to come. So when she was receiving this inspiration, she started writing books. There's a book that she wrote called Saving Humanity. It sounds very good, but there are things in it. She wrote a book on black magic, white magic, astral projections. Oh, you only go on Google, you see different kinds of. She was in serious level of spiritism, and in Saving Humanity, she has put 10 10 basic points to change the society and the world at large for 300 years. You see, the devil is a long-term planner. Let me share some with you. I'll share the 10 with you. Can I do that? Yes. Can I do that? Number one, she said, take God and prayer out of the education system. That's why many developed countries, they don't pray anymore. Hello? The reason I'm telling you this is because the Lord spoke to me when I was praying this dawn, that some of you here, you have your own schools. Amen. Yes, the amen is weak. Amen. You are hearing the sound of my voice. God will give you a TV station. You have an FM station. God will use you to clear the airwaves. And you stop the agenda of the enemy. Come on, shout yes. And oil will come upon you. Your cousin, your brother, your sister will enter into politics. And will stop the agenda of the enemy. Take God and prayer out of education system. Number two. And all these ones have SAPs. So number one, you see, though she says that there are SAPs. Number two. Reduce parental authority over the children. That's why in developed countries, when a child is angry, enters the room and slam the door, bang! Then you see the parents will be behind the door. Hello, Austin. Austin, we are sorry. Austin. Then you say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. The child can call police on the parent. Thank God for Africa. Thank God for Africa. By the time you slam that door, your head has left your neck. Your head. You look for your head. It will not be on your neck. One knock will deliver you from foolishness. Say, reduce parental authority over the children. And say, break the communication between the parent and the child. Why? So that parents do not pass on to their children Christian traditions. Are you there with me? He said, abolish corporal punishment. That's why in many schools you can't lash anybody, someone's child. Those times they'll put you on a table, they'll dry you. The teacher will run from the back with timber. Bye. If it is arrogance, it will leave you straight. Because spare the rod, spoil the child. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me go to the third one. For the sake of time. Destroy the Judeo-Christian family structure or the traditional Christian family structure. Why? So that you can promote sexual promiscuity. Free young people to the concept of premarital sex. That one that has come to stay with us. People have sex left, right, center. Use advertising industry, media, TV, magazine, film industry to promote sexual enjoyment as the highest pleasure in humanity. So when you act a movie, when Jiki Jiki is not in it, the movie will not be complete. In fact, when you are sleeping and you see Jiki Jiki, you wake up. Number four, if sex is free, then make abortion legal and make it easy. This woman wrote this in 1900. 1900. Five, make divorce easy and legal. Free people from the concept of marriage for life. So right now, people enter into marriage as contract. You can only marry for 2 years. Subject to terms and conditions. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Marriage is a contract right now. They said 6 out of 10 marriages in the United States don't last over 1 year. 1 year into marriage, they have to, because it's contract. You cannot come and stress me. Hello? Number six. And see, these things are going on an agenda. And what we are doing as Christians, so when I greet you, he didn't mind me. We don't have a plan. But God will help us. Number six says, make homosexuality an alternative lifestyle. So you are born as a man. They say, I feel that I'm a woman. Number seven, debase art. Make it run mad. Promote new forms of art which will corrupt and defile the imagination of people, because art is the language of the spirit. That which is inside, you can bring out in painting, music, drama. So you see that as a person is singing a song, the person is suggesting something to your mind. He's not saying it, but he's saying it. Hello? You see, when you are an adult, because you have eaten salt and sugar, these things don't really, the spirit Christ is afraid of you. But see, when a child is coming who is not discerning and gullible, these things can affect the child's mind. No wonder in many developed countries, you see, people are raping people. An old man is only after 8-year-old children. He's old, but his mind has been debased. God forbid. See, you have TV station. Amen. Listen, if you say you know, if you do, we'll push you with the anointing. You have correct TV station. You know that TV station. And so, Nkasiebo, then you gossip. We don't want that one. Amen. Put your hand on your head. Say, help me, Lord. Number eight, use media to promote and change mindset. Number nine, create an interfaith movement. Number 10, then I'm done. Get government to make all this law and get the church to endorse these changes. So in the church, there are some people that are planted by these people who have an agenda. So you see that many of them, you pump money into the church because they want position. Once they're in a high position, they can say, oh, you know, even these people, they are also human beings. If a man is sleeping with a goat, it's not anything. Let's acquire. In fact, Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. What I do not tell you is that money has changed hands. They are satisfied and they are promoting these things. Are you hearing me? But God is going to use you. I said, God is going to use you to stop this agenda of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. So, this is a long-term program. It is known that the U.S. Charter in 1948 adopted some of these principles in serving humanity in its charter and exported these ideas into the developing countries. And so before they will give you scholarship, they will tell you that a brilliant but needy student. Because when Nebuchadnezzar is coming for Israel, he will come for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. People who are intelligent in class, but their parents don't have money to pay their fees. Because Nebuchadnezzar knows that those are the people who will change the face of their community. But once they take them there on scholarship, they indoctrinate them. They come back, they begin to say nonsense. But what, before you were living here, you said when you come, you are going to do this, you are going to do this humanitarian intervention, but now you are, now that you have come, you are wearing G-string. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? It's an agenda. You know how God is going to prosper you? Not for yourself alone, your family, your community, and the church. You are not clapping your hands. That is why many of us must begin to come together. Come together to do what? To build schools. That thing, that showmanship, I want to do for them to know that when they left me, the Lord blessed me. Stop fooling. That without them, I have made it. You don't have to prove a point to an individual. Are you there with me? We come together, we build schools. We come together, we build a hospital. We employ our own nurses. People who are becoming doctors, they don't have work to do. We will come together and do. And there is a plan. 5-year plan. 10-year plan. The people sleeping under bridges, people sleeping in circle. We will buy land somewhere far away, build condominium, put a bus on the road. We'll give them job. That's human, your friend said, human assets or whatever you call it. Put them in a sugarcane plantation. The sugarcane, when you crush it, you use some for wine. Hello? You use some for sugar and use the rest to do fertilizer. So that they will not become thieves. All you are thinking about, I'll make it for my enemies to know there is God. Hello? We are not preaching, sweating because of one witch in your village. Because that witch cannot stop you. I said that witch will not do what? Cannot stop you. Receive that anointing. Receive that power. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What do you have in the inside of you? What you have in you determines where you are positioned, who you are, and what you can do. Exodus 18 verse 21. I want to quickly go to the third definition of capacity, and then we close. Exodus 18, 21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as do what? Fear God, men of truth, hating what? Covetousness. Covetousness, another word for covetousness is greed. Hello? One time they caught a minister of state, I think, and when they checked his room, dollars were packed in his room. He has on AC, and the AC is blowing on the dollar. Greed. What did I say? Men who are not covetous and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Based on your capacity, God wants to set you over thousands, hundreds, ten, and five. Maybe your company, you can only employ five people because that is your capacity. But hear it from me today that something is coming on you in this season. God is going to set you as a leader over God's people. Come on, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. So the third way to define capacity. Are you being helped this morning? The third way to define capacity. Capacity can also be defined as the ability or power to do something. Or it is the ability of something to perform. Hallelujah. Capacity is not only the room you make in yourself to receive, but what you are able to do as well. You know, before today, when you go to church, say receive it. You jump and catch and receive it. Then go and sleep. No, the word you are hearing today will charge you. What did I say? It will charge you. Anything you touch with your hand, it must yield to you. When it is a rock, you turn it into water. Are you hearing me? When it is sand, it must turn to gold dust. Shout, that is my portion. The scripture we read in Matthew 25 reveals how God has invested initial capacity in every man or woman to develop. The kingdom of God, the Bible said, is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own people and gave them talents. Then he said, according to their ability. Tell somebody you have an ability. No, tell the person you have an ability. 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God. One in this manner and another in that. And there are three levels of abilities that everybody has. Number one is called acquired ability. Short, acquired abilities. What does it mean? It's the ability that you have been trained to have. There are some people who say, Pastor, I don't have any ability. I don't have any gift. I am giftless. When you are gifted, it means that you must go and acquire it. You can have a skill of being a barber. Someone must train you. And once you are trained to be a barber, nobody can suck it out of you. Hello? There's a saying that you can suck somebody from ECG. But how to do illegal connection, you can't take it from the person. Whatever place the person go, it's a skill. You must acquire it. Acquired skills. Amen? When you go to school, you didn't know anything about IT. But because you went to school, you know your way around IT. God will use that IT to bring money into your hands. Acquire what? Skill. You don't know how to cook. You must be an apprentice. They show you that you don't add this one before this one. When add this one before this one, you tend to bump. Add this one. You are trained to acquire the skill. Amen? The second level of ability is natural ability. That one, you are born with it. There are some people, once they are born, the way they can sing Celine Dion, Crash Park, it's a natural ability. They were born with it. Some people's ability, natural ability, is they can eat. It's a natural ability. So in school, when they are doing food competition, God, that's their ability. That's how they shine in school. Amen? Natural ability. Some people can run. They can be running, not getting tired. They can run. It's a natural ability. But whatever ability you have, God wants you to develop it. The third level of ability is called supernatural ability. Supernatural. They were not born with it. They didn't learn it in a school, but God gave it to them. Hello? I did not learn teaching and preaching. I told you, I've not been to Bible school. But I believe that it's a supernatural ability. Amen? There are some people, they don't know, they've not gone to any school, they teach them how to write a book. But when they write and you read, you are like, man. Some people that went to school and they taught them how to write, spelling mistakes. When you don't even understand, are you there with me? So you fall in one of these categories. Either you have acquired a skill, either you are born with an ability, or God himself has given you a certain ability. And hear me carefully. This is what you must do the rest of your life. Don't do anything outside of your ability. You will not be fulfilled. You will not be satisfied. Last 3 days, I was talking to a guy on campus, Legon campus, and his boss used to work with insurance companies. Became a big guy in the insurance world. But he said he was not finding fulfillment. So he stopped that thing and started lecturing. Lecturer's money is not much. But when he was doing the lecture, because that was his ability, he has raised giants who have gone to establish insurance companies. And you know what they did? They called him to sit on boards. When you follow what ability God has given you, any other thing you are looking for will look for you and find you. Are you hearing me? We'll do what? We'll look for you and find you. Some people are born to be commentators. The way they can comment on issues, whether on social media, TV, or they can talk very well. But what the enemy has done is that he has changed it to gossip. They can't cry, they have fats. So 17 December 2018, this and this, I'm in the afternoon, exactly at 3 p.m. I say, hey, how do you remember? It's a gift, it's an ability God has put in there. We'll open radio station, we'll put you there. Hello? Some people, they talk for me, my wife talks very fast. My wife is, I say, so slow down. Hello? She talks very fast. Me, I have to arrange there. Where I'm coming from is very far. Give the Lord a clap of it. Amen. So you have an ability. If you think you don't have any ability, it's not too late. You can go and learn how to do makeup. Makeup. Learn it. Acquire that skill. Nobody will take it away from you. Learn how to sew. Learn how to bake. Spring roll. Bow float. Togbe. Learn it. Learn how to do ekwegbemi. What are the names? Porridge. Kuli. Then go to somebody to teach you how to do packaging. So when you do the ekwegbemi, then you put a granite on top. Then call it spicy granite. It's a skill you can acquire. And once you acquire, nobody can take it away from you. Because, why am I saying this? Because any blessing God will put in your hands, you need your ability to trade with it. Are you hearing me? Any blessing God has given to you, you will need the ability God has given to you to use it to make profit out of it. Without an ability, you cannot have profit. So he gave them 5 talents, 2 and 1, according to their heart. According to their what? Abilities. Amen. When you speak, people are able to take your matter and then they talk about it. It's something God has given you. Go out on the social media. Say anything. You see, then by the time you become a blogger. A blogger is an ability. Amen. May God open your eyes to know what is in the inside of you. Amen. Your amen is weak. Amen. Your amen is weak. I think our time is running fast, so I'll cut it next week. I'll continue and finish next week. Can we do that? Yes. Can we do that? Give the Lord a clap offering. There are a lot of things to be said. A lot. Amen. If you don't work with your ability, there are two things that you'll be doing. Number one is that you begin to give excuses. The man who went to hide his ability, he said, I know that you are a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. Giving excuses. People who don't use the ability, they are like, Pastor, if someone had paid my school fees, I would have been far gone by now. It's not too late. You can still go to school. You give excuses. If my father stayed with my mother for the next 3 years at that time, oh, I would have been here. You give excuses. If you don't use your ability. Number two, if you don't use your ability, you feel entitled. What does it mean? You feel that everybody's owing you. Everybody, somebody must do something for you. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody owes you anything. In fact, Bible says you owe people your love. You are the one owing. When you don't use your ability, you have a sense of what? Entitlement. Hello? You have a sense of what? Entitlement. Why are you not calling me? Why are you not checking on me? Why didn't you buy me fuel for my car? Why didn't everybody? That's why you're angry with everybody. Nobody owes you anything. In fact, when someone does something for you, it's because God has touched their heart to do something for you. They don't owe you silly. Are you hearing me? Yes, sir. Because a sense of entitlement can keep you in one place. Give the Lord a clap offering. Are you still there? Yes. There are a lot of things to be said. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Lift up your right hand. I want us to pray a prayer. Oh, God, help me. Next week we will continue. Is that okay? Okay. Isaiah 48, verse 17.
The prayer will be that, God, show me how to make profit. Is it a good prayer? Yes. Next week, let's come early. We'll continue next week. He said, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God, who does what? Who teaches you to profit? Who leads you by the way you should go? Hey, this is a very powerful prayer. God, show me how to make profit. Teach me where I'm to go. You don't need all customers of life. You need some customers. I share with you the story of Prosper, the taxi driver, who comes for prayer meeting here. He did 7 days fasting. Then something spoke to him that he should do voice note and send it to a certain woman. So he did voice note. Mommy, the Lord bless you. The Lord is with you. Don't give up. So Prosper, he's a taxi driver. So he one time picked the woman. And for a long time, he didn't hear from her. So he sent her voice note. When the woman received the voice note, he said, Prosper, where are you? I've been looking for you. He said, why? He said, there is a school, a hostel. They need general manager. And because of who you are, we know you can do the work. Prosper, who is a taxi driver, is not a general manager of a hostel, of a school. Every project the woman put it in his hands, whether Prosper is lying or not, the woman believes him. God showed him the way to go. It's not everybody you must call, but you must call some people. But when God leads you, you will know. Show me how to make profit. Show me how to make profit. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, teach me. Teach me how to make profit. Father, lead me where I must go. 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 Pray to God. Teach my hands how to make profit. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Teach me how to make profit. Teach me how to make profit. Teach me how to make profit. Show me the way to go. Show me the way to go. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Oh, God will cause you to make profit in this season. Every ability he has given to you, whether you were born with it, whether it's a supernatural ability, whether you have acquired it, God will turn it around to become a prophet. He will turn it around. He will turn it around. He will turn it around. Please go ahead and pray. Please go ahead and pray. Please go ahead and pray. Shada da da boda sandala maye. Ilama Marian talabasuka yadabaya. Father, show me, Lord. 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 Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Make my hands profit. Show me how to make profit. Show me how to make profit. Show me how to make profit, Lord. Lead me on the way to go, Lord. Lead me on the way to go, Lord. Lead me, Lord. When you pray, God will answer this prayer. When you pray, God will answer the prayer. God, empower my natural ability. Empower the skill I have acquired. Empower my supernatural ability. Let me be able to turn it around for profit. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Shadadi atala Messiah. He marado shedele berote. Ledele beberodo shadala babari atabaya. He maro sianda la baberi akaya dadas. He palagadari antolobo sataya. I see the spirit to make profit coming upon God's people. I see dew falling from heaven. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you have been blessed, uplifted, and transformed by the Word of God. Kindly subscribe to our podcast and as well follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Peacekeepers Assembly and on Twitter at Peacekeepers International for more updates. Or call our office on 054-6764-890. God bless you. So now